Anyway, let's ask the Lord to help us. This is, I was going to say, a terrible lesson, but I told my leaders they could bring tomatoes today, but I didn't write it. So, anyway, Father, we thank you for your precious word that so guides us and encourages our hearts, Lord, and lays us bare where we so miss everything and many things that we should be changing in our lives, Lord, and how dependent we have to be upon your Holy Spirit to bring that about. We can't do it ourselves. And in fact, your word really strips us because so often we try to do it in our own strength. So, Father, may you teach us today to lean heavily on you and to depend upon your Holy Spirit. Lord, we've got to be lights in this dark world. We need to be lights to our family. Help us, Lord, to digest your wonderful bread of life, that we each might leave here today stronger because we've been in your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to open up to chapter 12, verse 9, we'll finally get out of this chapter. But next week isn't going to get any better. Sorry. Next week's about submitting to government. How about that for an election year? We're going to be so tired by the time the election comes around, no one is going to want to vote. Well, 12:9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil." And I wrote in my Bible, that's a love that can hate. And I went right over that when I was writing these lessons. And I've written that in there because I think that's so important. I thought to myself how often you and I think God wants us to love everybody and everything and all other people. But this doesn't say that. It says abhor, hate what is evil. So that's a love that hates evil. And I just wanted to point that out because I missed it. Well, in the old King James, it said, "Let love be without wax." So I asked Joni this morning, I said, "Oh, are you going skiing this weekend? Are you going to wax your skis?" And she said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Does that make you go faster?" And she said, "Oh, yes." So I thought, let love be without wax. Should it be fast love, or what are we talking about here? So really what it's saying is exactly what it says in the New King James. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. But I like what the Phillips says. It says, let us have no imitation Christian love. Imitation Christian love. You know how that is. There's an awful lot of imitation things on the market, isn't there? And I like that. Well, everyone knows that the church should be a place where love ought to be. People come to church hoping. Maybe they're looking for comfort. Maybe they're looking for healing. Maybe they're looking for a friendship. But it should be a place where we love one another. And the real key here is out of a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. And sometimes we just read right over that. We don't even look at it. But a pure heart. You know, you got stuff going on in there that shouldn't be going on in there. It's going to cloud your relationships. It's going to hurt your relationships. And a good conscience. And only you and the Lord know all about that. Peter says, and we're not studying him, we're studying Paul's letter, but Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. Paul reminds us here, though, and elsewhere, that love must be genuine love, not phony, not hypocritical. It's, I tried to think about, how did we ever get into that kind of thinking where it would be hypocritical or phony? And I thought to myself, I'm old enough to remember when we only had 3 channels here in the Bay Area. I'm very old. However, we didn't even own a TV. So, it's, I think that's where it all started in Hollywood. I remember when the first comedians were on television, they just filmed it live. And it was genuine and it was fun because there was all kinds of mistakes and all kinds of things happening. And you just laughed along with it. Today now it's also professional and all cut and pieced together and there's nothing out of line. And we've kind of gotten into that plasticness of not being quite genuine. And we pick it up and have it furthered through movies and television. No one seems to realize how phony this is, and in the church it's intolerable. It really is. Fake love comes from the flesh. And so why does that even happen? We want to be liked. I think, well, that's noble, but that's not enough. We want to be well thought of. But true love comes only from the Holy Spirit. And I definitely want to get that across to you, that this lesson, and you might have just really struggled with it, this kind of love can only come from the Holy Spirit. And it must be shed abroad in our hearts. True love is manifested by learning from the Word of God how you should behave in certain situations. And then depending on the Spirit of God to give you the strength to obey and do it by moving out. Look at this. Have we gotten very far in this study? No, I've been doing this a long time. We're still back to trusting and obeying. Hasn't changed. We should sing that song every week as far as I'm concerned. When we do what the Word tells us to do by the Spirit that lives within you. 9 through 13 sets forth love as it's manifested in the church, in the family of God. And then verses 14 through 21 describes what love looks like in the world. The world doesn't understand it. So I tried to sort this out, and I keep changing it, so I'm driving Julie crazy here. But number one is true love, or genuine love, or real love, I don't care what you call it, rejects sin, but not the person who sins. Now, I think that's very difficult to do. Because in my flesh, I'd much rather tell you everything that's wrong with Audrey than... and I can't separate those two things. But don't condone the sin or defend it because it's like the person, because you like the person. Isn't that true? We can kind of go along with anything because we like them. Some people want to defend these sins as though they were right simply because they want to accept that person. You know, you can have a friend, let's say Mary Jane, who's living with some guy and... you know that's wrong, and but you like her, so you just kind of overlook it. And then she comes to church, takes communion, all kinds of things, and you wonder, but it's not your job to change her. Let the Holy Spirit do that. But true love remembers that relationship is the ground of concern, and so often we want to be their friend. And we forget that we want that person to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see this today. We defend all kinds of sin and go along with it. And so pretty soon churches don't look much like churches. They kind of look like the world. But Paul said, be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Paul says also that true love regards others as more deserving than yourself. Oh, really? Yeah, really. And when you start practicing this, it's wonderful. Phillips' translation comes up with, be willing to let other men have the credit. And my husband and I argued about this over the weekend. I know if I called my daughter, I could have gotten an answer, but I thought it was Harry S. Truman that said this. My husband thought it was Winston Churchill that said this, and we probably are both wrong, usual. And but one of them's got a plaque, or used to have a plaque on their wall, since they're both deceased now. It used to be. There's no limit. Here's the saying. There's no limit to the good a man can do if he doesn't care who gets the credit. I tell you, that's a huge statement, because then you can really enjoy yourself by doing good things behind the scenes. I remember this family back a few years ago. They were going to miss their house payment. And my husband made a bonus, and I said, instead of giving that to the church, why don't we give it to so-and-so so they can make their house payment? Well, it was so fun giving it to them, but somebody else got the credit. Was that even more funner? Yes, that was more funner. Because they never knew who did it. And now they're both deceased. So now they know. But that was fun. And you'll have a lot of fun doing that. You just don't have to worry about the credit. I know it's tough if you're working in a church like for VBS and you do all this work and you really laid yourself out and somebody else gets the credit. That's tough. But you know who's watching. And he loves it. Well, then the fourth thing is real love retains enthusiasm despite setbacks. I call them speed bumps. I have a lot of speed bumps in my life, and I really hate them. And when I go over to where I'm going to get my implants, or have half of them in already, my husband always takes the road that has all these speed bumps in San Leandro, and I tell him, please don't take that road. It reminds me of my life. So you get a few setbacks. But retain enthusiasm. Some people have asked me, how can you keep being enthusiastic about your walk? Well, dialysis just about set me back, but that was a pretty large speed bump. But we're working on that one. And keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And the fifth one is true love rejoices in hope. Now I was going to bring you a picture that my son took of me. It's the ugliest thing in the whole world. And then it says Hope across it, because that's my middle name. But he's the good guy that gave me a cup that said, cancer's not for sissies. And then he came and visited me while I was having dialysis last Saturday, so that was kind of nice. So he's a good guy. But we drive each other nuts. It's just like with Annabelle. I wanted to put her in the wheelchair and push her from back there and see how fast she could get down here. She didn't know that. It's a good thing Janie keeps a close eye on her. There's a trouble when you raise six kids, you're still a kid. Anyway, the fifth thing is that true love or real love rejoices in hope. And that's my middle name, and I couldn't stand it. But because people used to call me Betty Hopeless. So, but today I really love it because it's so biblical. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. You know how you're going to make that patience in affliction? Only if you're a woman of prayer. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's how you got to start your day, by meeting the Lord in prayer. Well, the sixth one is true love responds to needs. And this is where I kind of have it with the Lord that if that need is right in front of me, then I really take a look at it. If it's not, then I don't think it's for me to take care of it. Because there are people who dwell in churches, and we represent a lot of churches, where they call you up for money or they call you up for food, and you need to be very careful what you give out. But if God puts something right in front of you and you can fulfill that, then go for it. You know, today we have so many organizations that sometimes we just, the church gets a little bit sloppy about meeting needs. But you know, there are church folks that fall between the cracks. And if you can help them, help them. But with wisdom. Give yourself some thought about it, and prayer about it. That's why I think it's so important to start your days in prayer on your knees, or your days are going to be kind of messed up. And please remember, you must depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to do any of this, and you're acting in obedience. And then 9 through 13 were those six first ones, and then we go on into how the love, how love looks to the world. And this is a tough one. This is describing how Christian love looks when it's out in the world. And it consists of six things also. First, true love rejects sin, but not the person who sins. Again, I find this is difficult. Don't reject them. Love them. Let God change them. You can't change them anyway. You don't have that power. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to change anyone. It's not for us to do. Don't reject what's good about the individual. Hypocritical love is what turns people off. The world's attitude towards people that go to church is, well, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, well, that's probably true. But we're working on it, at least. And the world's attitudes are tough. They reject us or they have prejudice towards us. It is hypocrisy to reject people because you don't like their behavior. And reject the behavior. Second, true love remembers that relationships is the ground of concern and not friendship. You might be trying to build a friendship with somebody that comes into church, which is fine. But remember, you want them to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's far more important than a relationship with you. Although you can sure be praying about it. Paul says, be devoted to one another in Christian love. You know, it's wonderful. I think this class is such a good example of this. We belong to so many different churches, and yet we have a real love for one another. And how is that true? It's because Christ lives within us. And we seem to have a knowledge or an understanding of each other, and that's a beautiful thing. It's such an encouragement. It's kind of a tie that binds. And it should evoke concern and care for one another. Well, true love regards others as more deserving than yourself. That's hard. Honor one another above yourselves. Philip says, be willing to let others other men have the credit. And we just, we kind of hate to do that. And so we'll go on with true love rejoices in hope. And I've touched that with my own name. And I'd like to review each of those. Important to think about. You know, we put all our emphasis on becoming a Christian, and then what does that mean? Well, here Paul is stretching it all out, and I'm not going to go back over each one, although I'd like to. And then we go on to the second part of the chapter, where 14 through 21, where first love speaks well of its persecutors, or those who persecute them. You know, somebody in your church or outside of your church may have stabbed you in the back, and here you are in a group of people, and they're all talking about Mary Jane, how wonderful she is, and you so would like to say something. That's tough. Can't say anything, then don't say it. And let God work on this person. And it means if somebody stabs you in the back, you don't go around bad-mouthing that person. Again, I haven't quite mastered this. So I'm not saying it because I have. This is just what Paul is telling us. Well, something that you can approve of. Try to find that of someone. I have so seen this work in my own life and in a couple of situations where, especially the last one, where it was a very difficult situation. I must have cried for weeks, and I just couldn't believe Christians could treat each other that way. And but I just set out not to say anything negative about this individual. And I began to see God work, and God brought a great thing into his life, and I knew it was from the hand of the Lord. So, you know, he does such a good job. You don't need to help him out. So, and then there's a second one, that true love adjusts to other people's moods. You know, your husband may have come home from work and lost his job. He wants to talk to you. He desperately wants to talk to you. But you, here you are, little Miss Melody going around the house, all cheerful. And he's desperate to talk to you. And yet, instead of looking to you as someone that he can talk to, he sees you as saying to him, well, why can't you be happy and go lucky like me? You know, and here he is bleeding inside. And may not know the Lord. Think about other people's moods. And when someone is bleeding, bleed with them. If someone is weeping, weep with them. It says so much to them, especially whether they know the Lord or don't know the Lord. And really, somebody in a pity pot does not need your cheerfulness. Not going to go over well. Third thing is true love does not show partiality. It's living in harmony. Fourth thing, love is not sneaky or underhanded. Not evil for evil. I'd really like to get even. But that's when I've learned that it's just... You're starting in that direction. Don't do it. Don't give back evil for evil. Plan to do it was right, and especially in front of others. Don't take silent revenge. Now, a lot of wives do this, where they refuse to talk to the person because they're ticked off at them. But that's a form of vengeance. And what did the Lord say about it? He says, let him do it. Fifth is true love seeks to live at peace with everyone. It takes two to tangle. This is the cure for road rage. You're driving along and somebody cuts you off, and they're just aching to get you to fight back. Don't do it, it takes two. There's only one. He's the one that's out of line. I had that happen to me once, and a policeman watched it. He wouldn't let me on the freeway, and finally I got on, and the policeman pulled me over, and he says, "What was that all about?" And I said, "He didn't want me to get on the freeway." "Oh," so he jumped back in his police car and ran after the guy. I don't think he ever caught him. But it taught me something that the Lord was teaching me that the policeman knew nothing about, and I'm not going to tell you, but it was the real cure for, personally, for road rage. Don't get involved. Today, somebody might pull a gun on you, and that wouldn't be too swift. So try to live at peace with everyone. And you might tell your two fighting young children at home is to, takes two to fight. One of you back off, and great things begin to happen. Six, true love does not try to get even. Don't try to avenge yourself. You will only make a mess of it. Believe me. And God does such a good job at this. I saw it beyond belief in my own life. So we want to get even. We have that sense of justice in the back of our minds, and we want things to be right. But you'll just escalate the conflict, and then it's inescapable. And then they bring other people into it, and then you bring other people into it, and then pretty soon you get a great fight going, and that's just not of the Lord. So too often we fail to give God a chance. You know, I've told him, "Lord, I want vengeance yesterday. You're too slow," but he does get there. And when he doesn't, it's perfect. If you try to get your hands onto something, guess what? God's going to back off. He does a much better job of it. Don't you do it. Back off of it and let God do it. So often we fail to give him a chance because we want things to happen. But God says, hands off. You want to win? Three times Paul tells us here not to return evil for evil. That's how you express love in the world. And they're looking for it. They're desperate for truth. They're desperate for that genuine love. Let me close with this little story here out of Ray Stedman's book. He says, if there is a conflict going on, you will win if you respond by doing good instead of evil. One day, I read a story about a boy who was in the army. He was a Christian and had formed the habit of praying beside his bed before he went to sleep. He kept up this practice in the army, but he became an object of mockery and ridicule to the entire barracks. One night, he knelt to pray after a long, weary march. As he was praying, one of his tormentors took off his muddy boots and threw them at the boy, one at a time, hitting him on each side of his head. Saying nothing about it, the Christian just took the boots and put them beside his bed and continued to pray. But the next morning, when the other man woke up, he found his boots sitting beside his bed, all shined and polished. It so broke his heart that he came to the boy and asked him for forgiveness. That led, after a time, to the man becoming a Christian. This is what Paul means when he says, you overcome evil with good. Lord, we have a lot to learn. And help us not to be sloppy in our walk, to really consider the world watching. And Lord, the world is so hungry for truth, so hungry for that genuine love. Help us, Lord, be delivered of hypocrisy. Help us to be genuine in our care for others, because we're beginning to see it from your viewpoint, that these people are lost or are going in the wrong direction, and we need to help them along the way by loving them. Lord, I don't know how it's possible to separate the sin from the sinner, because it's hard in my own life. But give us a sensitive spirit towards that, that we might be encouragers to others and genuine again in our love for them. Bless each lady, Lord. We're all struggling with things, including myself, and we'll simply give you all the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.